Phantom West Connection Podcast!
Bam, we're back.
Better this week. It's much better this week.
That's Chris over there. His voice is back. I have Jeremy Moss hanging
back
out.
Back like Florida State.
What? Which time?
Which time?
allegedly, which time? that's a good one. When they beat Northern Illinois North Bowl? Yeah, you're back. Good job.
Pretty much. You're back.
Yeah, but yeah, we're back. I'm not going to say better than ever. We're just back. And we can promise you this will not be more than 40 minutes. So
I can't promise that.
Well, our interview only went about 25 minutes, so we might be cutting it close. But basically, what we're doing now, we're a little, not a format change, but kind of streamlining, so we're not doing 95-minute podcasts, at least right now. Basically, what we're going to do our preview podcast, just have an interview, or we'll discuss among ourselves, just the team only. End of the week, we'll decide when we'll do like kind of a live Google Hangout, take some questions, email them in. At mountainwestfootball.com, tweet him at MWC Connection or Greek Padre. We'll find him from there. And then we'll kind of talk about whatever. So this podcast, at least during the summer, just about the team. That's about it. Does that sound good to everybody? I'm hoping people who didn't want to hang with us for 60 minutes like the first couple times.
Ooh, okay. Oh, and by the way, I told you I would get a guest for this week.
You did. I said, do it. We do have a good guest. We're talking Boise State, who we got... As I figured out the right way to say the website, because apparently saying the letters is too long.
Look, it's very simple. It's very simple. It's obnug.com.
I wasn't sure of the actual way to say it, because it's one Bronco Nation under God, which is long. Saying each letter is long. And I've heard people say different things. But when you read text, it's like, well, what do they really mean? Because text is not that hard to read out, but when it's an abbreviation, do you say it? Do you do a word letter by letter? But basically,
O-B-N-U-G, obnug.com. We've got a great guest tonight. It is Drew Roberts, one of the original authors. I believe him and Kevin Lee were both the original writers of Obnug.
Yeah, so
at least they were when I started reading it like 4 years ago.
They've been on there for a while. They're part of our SB Nation network, so we want to bring those guys on. And so, yeah, we're going to talk a ton about Boise State. You get to know about their wide receivers, who he likes on defense, offense, who might play on offense, and is there a Nick Patty controversy among a few people?
All right, so before we get to that interview, I do have a couple of things. So first of all, today is June 17th. You have 4 days until June 21st to get your uniforms in for a contest, and you can win a T-shirt, a Mountain West T-shirt.
Your choice.
Your choice. Your choice of colors, your choice of teams or colors or whatever you like.
You can customize it too if you'd like.
Yeah, you can customize it. And we will customize it for you or however you like. Well, we will get the shirt and we will send it to you. Second thing, I'm going to go ahead and talk about my article which wasn't really my article. It's just my analysis of Jason Kirk's article. So 6 Mountain West teams.
Bam.
Bowl projections. Do you agree with all of them real quick?
Where or who?
Who?
I'm pulling up right now. Well, as for the teams, we already know Boise State's going to make it. You assume San Diego State and Fresno State are locks. And then I know he's Utah State, Fresno State, and Air Force. Is that right?
Utah State, San Jose State, Air Force, and Wyoming.
Oh, the Pokes. I would say, you know, I'm a little bit higher in Air Force, but even then, they're still right there. I like what you put. I'm not going to tell you, but you replace Wyoming. You replace Wyoming with your favorite caricature of the Mountain West. I think Wyoming has the potential, but
I totally agree. Wyoming does have the potential.
They got to prove it to me.
Exactly.
Everybody else, it's fine. Boise in a BCS game is expected until they lose, and now until they lose twice because what happened last year in Northern Illinois. They got them versus Texas, which we'll discuss and withdrew as well for a minute or two. But as for who's there, I've seen some people down on Utah State just because the new league and stuff. But look what Fresno did. They came right in and did perfectly fine. And Nevada did pretty good as well. If I'm going to replace – the only team I would replace is like what you with Wyoming. I don't know if I'd go as far as New Mexico, but I could probably see Nevada getting a bowl spot there. That's probably the only swap I'd make. New Mexico, it's a reach, man.
And that's the thing. I would replace Air Force with Nevada, but you know, I can't see Nevada not making a bowl game. Me personally.
Yeah, we'll talk about all this later. But yeah, Nevada, they got the offense, new coach. We'll know early on, and their schedule's not terribly difficult. because it's a well, monotonous schedule for the most part, just because that's not obviously super difficult to begin with outside of a couple of teams better, but not what it used to be, or not what it's comparatively to Big 12, Pac 12. But six bowl teams, that wouldn't that be the most ever, I believe? Because they didn't get six last year, did they? They got five?
It's because we did not have the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Oh, that's right, the Idaho Bowl.
Or the Hawaii Bowl.
True.
Either
but,
one.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about this later in our Q&A and kind of generic show, but I think if they get six, it's awesome. I think they can get six, but after the six, I agree with everything but Wyoming. And I could see Air Force not making it, but that's about it.
Yep. So that awkward silence over. I guess now we should probably introduce our guest.
Yeah, let's bring in our guest right now. We'll be discussing some Boise State. All right, and now we bring in our guest for tonight to discuss all things Boise State football. We got Drew Roberts from, I guess it's, I never know how to say it right. I just say obnug.com. Is that close enough? Is that right?
Well, that just takes a little too long. We just call it obnug.
That's what I kind of thought, but I was like, I never know what to say, so I go with that. So obnug.com makes sense. So we got Drew here today to, as Chris said just a second ago, oh, sorry. Chris, you still with us, right, of course?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, as you said before, 13-0, yes or no, and we're done, right?
That's pretty much it.
Clearly, yeah.
Yeah, so they, Boise State, we've, I guess, that's not out of the question to say, so let's kind of jump in and kind of go around players returning and keep people on talk to Drew about and everything. But from everywhere else, it seems like it's a slam dunk, and I think it should be just because of what they've done. They've won the conference every year, but outright, but what, twice in the past decade or something? So I don't have a hard time seeing them being undefeated in league play, even though they do have a fairly difficult conference road schedule. So, do you know what I mean? Like, going by with that, do you, let's jump in. I assume you think they're going to win the league. We're not going to spoil anything. That's what everybody says. But, Drew, what do you think about, like, their difficulty? We'll score, like, their kind of schedule through who they're playing. We'll kind of break down from lower down to players and stuff. So, what do you think about their, because their league slate's kind of tough. All the tough games are on the road. San Diego State, San Jose State, Fresno, and Utah State, I believe.
I mean, Boise State, you know, has made their, has got all their league titles in the past by, you know, year in and year out winning those games. So whether it's at home or it's away, they've taken care of business. But, you know, I'll certainly say that, you know, a little bit of that luster has come off. Obviously, Boise State back-to-back home losses in subsequent years. Last year, losing a tight one to San Diego State, and the year before dropping one to TCU. So, you know, Boise State is no longer has that air of invincibility at home, although, you know, that's a very tough win for opponents to come in and sneak away with one. But yeah, I mean, I think Boise State is known for going on the road and getting those things done. But that said, I think, you know, the Mountain West slate is definitely a lot more difficult than the WAC slate that we faced. And, you know, I definitely think that, you know, games against Fresno and San Diego State, even Utah State, San Jose, you know, might be tough. And, you know, playing Air Force and, you know, teams like that in Nevada, I know we get Nevada at home, but I mean those are definitely tough games, and you know, anything but a gimme when you don't have, you know, Kellen Moore under center and you've got some questions on defense. So I definitely think Boise State has a tough schedule, skating, if you will, and that's why I think Boise State could absolutely win the conference, go undefeated, or they could have two losses in conference. I mean, it's just a lot of things have to break your way to go undefeated, and it's happened in the past, and other times, as you've seen, you know, Boise State ends up with that one, you know, painful loss, but you know, a flip of the coin or a roll of the dice, and it'll go the other way. So we'll just see how it pans out.
So let's talk about the Mountain West schedule for a second, because me personally, as a Boise State alumnus,
you sure about that? Is that confirmed yet?
I've got the picture to prove it now. And as a fan, I was actually really stoked about Boise State staying in the Mountain West. However, there was lots of noise about, you know, hey, we're going to have a worse schedule now that we're not in the American Athletic Conference. What would be the difference from what you see between the two schedules? I mean, we have the same non-conference schedule, but is there really that much of a difference between Fresno State, Nevada, and San Diego State versus Louisville, Rutgers, and UConn?
Well, I definitely think there's a difference between the two, but I mean, we would only get that schedule for next year. I mean, Boise State, I mean, that was a dream schedule for us to have Louisville come in and Rutgers come in and get to play UConn, who's, you know, had some good years in the past. You know, I definitely think that getting some fresh blood in here that, you know, Boise State fans hadn't seen. I know we've matched up with Louisville a couple times in the recent past, but you know, that would have been a great slate. I mean, no question at all. But you know, given that all those teams are departing and fleeing that conference, I think you know, for us to you know, sell our souls for one year of those type of matchups, you know, just wouldn't have, you know, played out well in the future. So I think geographically and all that stuff, Boise State is wise to stay where they're at. And, you know, we get to keep a lot of our geographic rivals and some, there's obviously some, you know, bad blood between some of these teams. And I think Boise State fans sure like to watch the Wolfpack get spanked, and they like to watch Boise State hang 50 on Fresno and things of that nature. And I'm sure you heard my 5-year-old there come in and add his 2 cents.
No
but,
problem, I know that is.
So anyways, that's
family
how I feel.
Family-friendly show here.
Yeah, I know, it's not an issue. I have that happen time to time. The video is even better when we do that. It like comes in and say, hey, what's going on? But, yeah, I always thought they should have stayed in the first place just because of all of what you mentioned. But so let's kind of get down to it. A lot of people, like, kind of go by the players that are coming back. Everybody, because Kellen Moore, you mentioned him, he's obviously, the most wins ever in NCAA, I believe, FBS. He passed Colt McCoy a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
So people are always saying Joe Southwick is, he's going to be stepped right in line. That's obviously not the case. Kellen Moore was so good. First off, is there still any fans who want Nick Patty to start over Southwick? I'm just curious.
Sure
there's a big battle about that last year, and I'm pretty sure there's still people who want that perhaps.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few of those guys still lingering around, but I mean, I think people are smart enough to look and say, look, you've got an incumbent starter, you got a guy coming back with a year of experience under his belt, and really Southwick got better as the year went on, and so, you know, by the end of the year, I mean, I would have taken end of year Southwick over anybody on the roster, obviously. You know, beginning of year Southwick, I don't know, there was definitely some people looking to the Patty bandwagon. The paddy wagon, if you will. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think, you know, people that want Patty in there are probably just desirous of another 4-year starter. And, you know, that's understandable given what Kellen Moore was able to do. And also because, you know, Patty brings a lot of different dimension to the offense because he is such a speed burner and stuff like that. But honestly, I mean, Grant Hedrick has probably just as much speed as Nick Patty. So, you know, if those guys aren't ready to step in day one, then it's good for them to redshirt and get a little bit of time with the playbook under their belt. And, you know, Patty was the offensive scout team player of the year last year. And so, I mean, there's nothing that I've seen that shows that he can't be the number two guy this year. And then, you know, as a sophomore, step right in and take the reins and be awesome. So, you know, it's fine by me.
I'm going to throw a slight curveball at you right now. Okay, so we've had 1 year of Southwick. And we're expecting, you know, Southwick hopefully to get better this year. But how much better can he get? Is this going to be like a Taylor Tharp? You know, well, Tharp was the exception. He was only a 1-year starter, and that was it. But he did really well in that 1 year. Or are we going to see like a Jared Zabransky take a step back and then come shining for a senior season? Or are we going to see a constant improvement like Dinwiddie, like if you want to go way back?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously because Southwick's a senior, he's not going to have a chance to, you know, really regress and then get better again like Zabransky did. So, I mean, this is pretty much his last opportunity. I mean, he's going to have to be good right out of the gate, or I'm sure he's going to be on a short leash. I mean, the Bronco coaches, I'm sure, weren't terribly pleased with some of his decision-making early last year. But in the end of the year, I mean, all you can say is he wasn't Kellen Moore, but, you know, he wasn't I don't know, Nate Enderle or something like that either. You know, I mean, yes. he was a good game manager. He did what he needed to do. And, you know, he cleaned up some of those mistakes, like, you know, sliding short of the first down marker and things like that, that were kind of driving some of the Bronco fans nuts. And I honestly think that, you know, if he comes out of the gate next year, like he finished the season and he shows that he's got a little bit of touchdown field, I think, you know, he can be a very good quarterback for us. And again, you know, he's not Kellen Moore, but he doesn't need to be Kellen Moore to win games, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think he's a, like, once-in-a-forever player, almost seems like, for what he did.
Yeah.
And so one thing to talk about, the offense, we kind of go through a couple position groups. The offensive line and running back, we can kind of melt together a little bit because they're always key together. They lose three starters on the offensive line, but they should be bringing back. They should have four senior starters at least because you got Matt Paradise coming back, Charles Leno. They're all Mountain West guys. You got a couple other guys who've had a few starts here and there. Is there any concern about losing over half the offensive line to either protect Southwick or open up for JG, the new running back, who I'm assuming should carry 80% of the carries throughout next season?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's always a little bit of a concern, obviously, but I think some of the guys that we had redshirt last year, like Travis Averill and Mario Yaku, and even, you know, Marcus Henry, who got a little bit of time last year, those guys are, you know, probably some of the highest rated offensive linemen we've brought in the last 10 years. And that's saying something because we've had guys go in the first round like Ryan Clady. I mean, Ryan Clady was a two-star. I mean, on one hand, it shows that the star ratings aren't everything. But on the other hand, it shows that, you know, Boise State's recruiting a little bit higher caliber, a guy that can step right in and play. And so now that those guys have had a little bit of, you know, time with the playbook and stuff like that, and be able to get their feet wet this year under some senior leadership, I think they're going to be able to step right in next year and land some of those starting spots. So, yeah, I mean, it hurts, you know, losing some of that senior experience. But, I mean, Boise State went undefeated in the regular season in 2008, I believe, and had one of the youngest rosters in the whole country. So, you know, Boise State has done this from time to time where they lose big swatch of seniors and bring in some younger guys. And because the way Chris Peterson does things, you know, given those young guys playing time and stuff throughout the season, and obviously you get the luxury of that when you're winning games by 40 and 50 points. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's definitely part of their master plan. And it's worked out great because, you know, you don't have these guys come in that are, you know, completely bewildered at the sight of, you know, a packed stadium and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, it'll sting a little bit losing some of that leadership, but I think we'll have a little experience coming back and we're definitely going to have a lot of talent returning.
So let's talk about talent a little bit. We got a stack, huge stack of running backs. Mm-hmm. And so I assume that the 1A, 1B setup that Peterson usually has is probably going to be Ajayi followed by Jack Fields. Of course, I could be wrong. But who's then after? Like, who, like in terms of the roster, who would you think would be number one, number two, number three, or is Ajayi Fields pretty much going to be it?
Gosh, that's a toughie because, you know, Derek Thomas came in the spring and the JC transfer, and, you know, he's built a lot like Ajayi, but I don't think he quite has the shake and bake that Ajayi has. So I see him as being a bit more of a goal line back and stuff like that. I definitely see Jack Fields as being kind of a quasi every down back. You know, he's not quite as big as Ajayi, but you know, he's strong and has a lot of tenacity and runs hard, stuff like that. So I definitely see him being your kind of two back almost just in the past. And you know, it's hard to say after that. I'd like to say probably Derek Thomas would be there, but I mean, it could be somebody like Devin Demas, who's small, but who's a burner, you know, as kind of a change of pace back, if you will. And I mean, you never know. You could have Aaron Baltazar, the true freshman, come in and claw his way into some carries as well, because he's a pretty big kid and pretty highly rated kid as well. So, I mean, that's a great thing about what Boise State's facing this year is we have a wealth of talent at running back, and there's definitely not going to be enough carries to go around. But, you know, any combination of those four or five guys is enough to really do some damage, I think.
So could it be nothing? Having too much talent can be a concern for some schools, depending on how they play. But to see, I see what Peterson has done. He's had Doug Martin, DJ Harper, and going back to Ian Johnson, like one guy. Having so many guys, it's kind of hard. Sometimes you want to find a hot guy to, sure, give them this whole drive or give them 85% of the drive. Is that any concern where we have so much talent? But, you know, we know who's starting at the top, but are they going to want to have, we kind of answered, but just some other clarification mm-hmm. for your thoughts. I assume they're going to have the one guy take at least half bulk of the carries like he's done in the past. I'm assuming Peterson wants to go with that mold instead of saying, okay, you had good three plays, keep going, or rotate in and out every three plays because they have so much. How do you think he'll manage this? You want to have one or two guys and the other three or four get a carry here and there throughout the game depending on situation?
Yeah, well, I think so. I think the key is to have some good situational guys. I mean, if you think back a few years, we had a kid named Antoine Carter who did not get a lot of carries, but he was an awesome goal line back because he was just short, stout little guy, almost like a Jarvis Hodge type of back, you know, who was kind of our garbage time hero a couple of years ago. But you still had your core of guys. You had DJ and you had Jeremy Avery or Ian Johnson. You know, those guys, I think it's important to get those, have like two guys, maybe two and a half guys that are going to get a bulk of the carries. And obviously one guy is probably going to need to get at least 60% of the carries because you want that rhythm and stuff to develop. But yeah, I mean, it is a little bit difficult because you don't want some of the other guys on the roster to feel like they're not being utilized and look elsewhere. But I kind of do think that you can't exactly go with that big of a committee to say, hey, we got five guys ready to go and we're going to use them all equally. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So I don't know. It's going to be real interesting in fall. Like, who kind of steps up? I think Jay Ajayi is definitely your number one, obviously. And honestly, I think Jack Fields is probably your two just because he's a lot more versatile than the other backs that are under him.
All right. And so going from running back to wide receiver, you know, we're still stacked at offense. And we have Matt Miller as the number one and Kirby Moore as a great slot receiver guy. Who else do we have? Who else do we have back there who's really looking to make a serious impact for the team?
Well, I got to think that Geraldo Boldevine and Aaron Burks are your guys.
He might actually step up, like people said the past 2 years.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of what I was getting to is, you know, Boldevine and Burks are two guys that, you know, have had a lot of promise, and we've heard a lot about them the last couple of years, but they really haven't, you know, converted into huge weapons for us. And so, I mean, both of those guys with their size, with their speed, with their leaping ability, I mean, they could be absolute, you know, all world type of receivers if we could get them on the same page. We could get them to stay out of trouble with well, I'm speaking especially about Boldevine here, but stay out of trouble with the NCAA. I mean, it seems like every spring we hear about Burks, you know, he can jump 45 inches and he can run a 4.2 and, you know, he's 6'3", you know, stuff like that. And you're kind of like, well, why isn't that translating in the field? And, you know, it seems like, you know, Burks might have finally kind of turned that corner. I mean, I'm crossing my fingers here because they're saying, you know, that in spring he was looking great. And we've heard that song and dance before, but, you know, he's put on some weight, bulked up, kind of understands that this is his last opportunity. And, you know, I definitely think that those guys, those two guys can really show a lot. I mean, Boldevine actually looked real good in the Mako Bowl. And, you know, I think Burks can be the same kind of guy. We also have some speedy type guys like Dallas Burrows and, you know, some great looking incoming freshmen who I don't know how they're going to utilize. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think we have some crazy weapons there, but it almost kind of seems like Matt Miller's the only guy you really consistently hear about. So it's a little bit frustrating in that regard.
Yeah, they always have talents. Like, oh, people were complaining last year, I remember, oh, they're not scoring enough points. Like, you're still winning by three touchdowns in some games. You're just averaging six less a game or seven less. That's always I can get where that's frustrating, but still you're winning good. You don't have to win 50-10 every game, beating up on whoever. Right. You know what I mean? Whoever. It doesn't matter. It's like, come on. You're still very good. You're just not winning by as much because apparently last year was a down year with two losses, which, sheesh, that's – I wish my team would be like that as well. Oh, we only got 10 wins. We're doing it. We're not very good this year. We're terrible. But we talked about the offense. We've done enough towards that. I don't want to go through each defensive position. We know DeMarcus Lawrence is a pretty good player. I'd say probably the best defensive player in the league, one of the top handful overall. Who else on defense, like besides him, who else would be like a key player to whether it can, just on defense, who one or two other guys who would be somebody who should make a big impact? Just toward whatever, interceptions, sacks, anything.
Yeah, I think our safeties, Jeremy Iwani and Darian Thompson, are going to play a big role this year, especially because we've got, you know, we're going to have some new cornerbacks coming in with Jamar Taylor and Jarrell Gavins graduating. I mean, those guys are going to be a lot, hold a lot of importance, you know, to be kind of field generals out there. And, you know, Jeremy Iwani, I'm hoping, can, you know, set the tone with his big hits, and Darian Thompson continue to be a ball hawk and kind of coach up some of those other younger guys that are going to be coming in at corner. And, You know, so that's going to be key that those guys play well, because, you know, we have some guys that are going to need to get up to speed early in the season. And then on that interior D-line, I mean, I think it's going to be important as well, you know, considering that we graduated Mike Atkinson and Darren Kuntz. I think Ricky Chongachu is going to be a big impact player in the middle. And, you know, whatever guys can get up to speed in a hurry that are coming in, we've got two JC guys, Justin Tamatua and Deuce Matele. I think those guys are going to be real important in the middle. Obviously with Sam Ukwuachu getting dismissed from the team, the other defensive end lining up across from Lawrence is going to be important. You know, so whether that's Tyler Horn moving back out from the inside, or that, you know, that's Sam McCaskill or you know, one of the veteran backups. I mean, all those are going to be important, honestly. But I mean, I look at some of the guys that are returning and have some experience to be the real keys there. You know, because they're going to have to lead by example.
So do you think they could still be like another top 20 national defense like last year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I absolutely think that. I mean, however, I mean, they might have to kind of flip the deck a little bit, because last year, you know, Boise State struggled at times against the run. But, you know, our pass defense was amazing. I think we only gave up three passing touchdowns all year. So I don't expect that to happen again. But I definitely expect us to have a lot of takeaways, and I expect our run game to step up and be a little bit more stout. And so, I mean, I think it might kind of flip those stats. Maybe we're not as good against the pass, but better against the run. I mean, I hope there's some balance there. But, you know, overall, I think our defense might take a slight step back, but I still think we'll probably be dominant and be one of the, you know, clearly probably the best in the Mountain West.
All right, so then let's just go ahead and take you real quick through the Boise State schedule and your predictions.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really a 13-0 team, or is there is there a couple hiccups on the way?
Well, I mean, I honestly, it's not even bias. It's just the fact that we've established this precedent. I always think Boise State can go undefeated. Now, if we were truly playing an SEC schedule, I'd probably think, yeah, we're going to drop a few of those. But, you know, it seems like if we can get through that out-of-conference schedule unscathed, I mean, I always like our chances to go undefeated in league. It just seems like that's what Boise State does. And so if Boise State can get by Washington early, and they can, you know, get by BYU and Southern Miss and, pardon me, some of those teams.
Don't forget them.
I absolutely think they can do that. Do I think they will do it? Probably not. I see that, you know, Boise State's probably going to trip up once or twice this season. And again, they're going to be right in the thick of all those games. I mean, even last year, I mean, with those two losses, I think combined, what, 6 points or something like that. So, I mean, Boise State's going to have an opportunity to go undefeated. Now, I don't think they will, but they're going to be a hair's breadth from it again, I think. And as frustrating as that is, it also shows just how, you know, close this team is from, you know, true greatness.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's like they've proved it year in, year out. If they get more than one loss, it's kind of a surprise. So
right.
Their schedule, like I kind of mentioned in the beginning, we made an error. Like, they don't play San Jose State, which is kind of good for them. But all their well, I'm just saying, look how good they were last year. One of the best quarterbacks in the country, perhaps, towards NFL, David Fell. So that's a... And they have Noel Grigsby, a good wide receiver combination. So it's a good miss. They got a good offense. That's a tough team. Better than playing Colorado State, Mexico. You know what I mean? You'd rather play those guys. But the schedule, their road schedule is kind of difficult. Utah State, San Diego State, Fresno. But they have, like, they're favorable as well. They have home games before every one of those. And in the case of Utah State, it's a off week. So it's not like they're going back-to-back on the road ever, which is a pretty sweet schedule. I don't know how they manage that. They have like every other week on the road. But what do you think is like the biggest game where they might actually, like, a couple of games they may lose? I think Washington could be the biggest, because they're back at the renovated Husky Stadium. They didn't play there all last year. They already have a great home field advantage regardless before the renovations. My biggest loss, if I'm gonna pick like two or three games, I'd pick Washington. Probably is the most likely to be a loss. I don't know. Fresno.
Better not say Fresno.
I'm gonna go to Fresno. Fresno, and then I guess BYU, but I don't know. What are your thoughts? Like, what are the biggest games where if they're going to trip up, who would it most likely be against, and kind of a quick sentence or two of why?
Yeah, well, I mean, Washington, obviously, number one. I mean, that was a tight, close game last year. You know, we're going to be in their stadium. It's going to be loud. And, you know, so that's going to be a hostile environment. I was at the game last time Boise State went into Husky Stadium, and I mean, obviously a much different Boise State team, but you know, that's a loud, raucous crowd, and I think they can you know, Washington's a type of team that can jump on you in a hurry if you make some mistakes. I mean, if we can control Keith Price like we did in the bowl game, you know, I think we can do some good stuff in there. But, you know, he's kind of a schizophrenic type player. He can also take over a game and be real tough to stop. So it'll be interesting to see if Seferian Jenkins is back from his suspension and things like that. And, you know, obviously we got to keep Bishop Sankey in check. We obviously didn't do that in the bowl game. So, you know, there's some key matchups there. And if Boise State can win some of those, I think Boise State can win that game. But that's definitely going to be probably the toughest game of the year. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think Utah State might actually be the second toughest game. And, you know, if you would have said that to me like 5 years ago, I would have laughed in your
Any
face.
Any school would laugh at that.
Yeah. I mean, it really does show how amazing the turnaround has been for Utah State, because that was a team that was laughably bad a couple of years ago. And, well, for probably a decade, really.
More than that.
And, you know, Chucky Keaton is a heck of a player and really scares me, especially when Boise State has trouble you know, keeping that edge contained and things like that, like we did at times last year. And, you know, that's a really scrappy defense as well. You know, I've watched them play a couple times, and they kind of remind me of Boise State a couple years ago. You know, they don't have the biggest, fastest guys, but they really swarm the ball well, and they put a good game plan together. So, you know, I don't think that Logan is a huge home field advantage, but I do think that Utah Nope. State game, whether it was home or away, is going to be a toughie. You know, it's hard for me to say Fresno State anymore. I mean, every year it's like we get worried about Fresno State mm-hmm. and then Boise State handles them. I do know, you know, that this is Derek Carr's last season. So, you know, maybe he'll have something to prove that he hasn't been able to prove thus far. But I don't know. I mean, the fact that they've got Pat Hill gone now and got some new leadership, I definitely think Fresno's going in the right direction. They're recruiting fairly well, doing things like that. I'd probably put San Diego State right above them as far as, you know, games that I think we could lose, just because we did lose to San Diego State last year. And I still don't know how they got away with that game. It didn't really seem like they were gashing us or killing us all over the place. But
special teams.
I mean, they killed us on special teams, obviously, and they did what they needed to late in the game to, you know, keep the clock going and, you know, stuff like that too. So, yeah, I mean, so I'd probably say Washington, Utah State. I'm not going to mention BYU. I have no clue. I mean, I don't even know what that was I watched last year when those two teams played. San Diego State and probably Fresno. Those are the top four, I think.
Yeah, you know what? The Utah State, I cannot wait, because I've got a cousin who's going to USC next year. I kind of want to get tickets for that USC-Utah State game, because I'm fairly convinced that Utah State can go into the Coliseum and beat USC.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. let's go ahead and I don't know if you're aware, but Jason Kirk gave very, very early bowl projections today. Mm-hmm. And he projected Boise State in the Fiesta Bowl versus Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what about your thoughts. I mean you obviously talked about, well, this is a team that could go undefeated. They may or they may not, depends. But
mm-hmm.
Texas? I mean, we're talking about two former Brian Harsin teams. So, and in terms of the matchup, that could possibly be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Texas just is a team that in the last couple of years just does not scare me at all. I mean, they obviously still get some of those huge Texas recruits and stuff like that, but they just seem like they don't really have a clear focus. You know, they'll play great defense one game, they'll play horrible defense the next game, you know, and then you know, Harsin, I think, had that team doing some good things on offense and stuff too, and now he's gone. You know, I would love to see that matchup, honestly. I like to see Boise State, you know, take on teams from the so-called power conferences and come away with the win. We beat Oklahoma. Prior to that, what was the other Big 12 team we played? You know, Iowa State, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see us take on Texas. I mean, they do have a lot of tradition and they've been known as, you know, being one of the big names in college sports. So I'd love to see that kind of matchup. I kind of wish we would have got a chance at USC last year in the Mako Bowl like they were predicting. So, mm-hmm. You know, Fiesta Bowl, I mean, it's a long shot if Boise State doesn't go undefeated. But, You know, I always hope for a good bowl matchup at the end of the year, and you know, the bigger the opponent, even if it's just in name only, the better.
Yeah, I just don't think Texas will be there in general because they've been terrible.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, outside of what Jonathan Gray, who they barely use running the ball, he's pretty good defense, but I don't know what Mac Brown changes offenses as quickly as he, I don't know, changes his clothes. The past three seasons, he's been going spread, no, roll out, traditional, bring back Vince Young, come on. So I just don't think they're going to be there in general. They'll probably be better, but it'll probably be a Big 12 team if it comes to that in that area for that bowl game. But one last thing, if I'm going to do, well, me and Chris will discuss this. Like, we're probably assuming they're going to, I was on record saying I lean toward Fresno State winning the league. I just think it's so close. And if you looked at the odds today, like them and Fresno are like mile to everybody else. So I'm not that this is a prediction, but I don't know. It's between those two schools. That first game, obviously, a big difference. But, and as I ramble across saying nothing of what I wanted to say, I'm just talking about good stuff. What I really want to get at, we all know where I'll stand. They're probably going to be in the title game. That's almost a given. So I want to ask you about, really quick, last kind of question, kind of beyond a couple years down the road. Just kind of with the playoff. With Boise State, they've been so close. They've had so many undefeated years. They've obviously had a couple years. They've actually been allowed or the privilege to be invited to a BCS bowl game. What do you, how do you think, I know it's a better chances, but what's your reaction to how they might actually have a chance down the road to be included to pick up the Crystal Trophy, perhaps, if they have a very good team like they did a couple years ago, or almost every year, they're always up there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think any kind of playoff is better than what we had before. Even though, you know, Boise State's access has been decent in the last couple of years because of going undefeated, you know, getting into those games. I mean, last year, I mean, Boise State had an outside chance of getting into the BCS when Northern Illinois went instead. But, yeah, I mean, so, you know, the BCS is, we've been able to play it as good as, you know, you possibly can. But I mean, the fact that there is a playoff coming, even though it's not as many teams as I'd hoped, I mean, I do think it gives some of those teams hope. And I also think that it will do a little bit to, you know, create a little bit more parity on the fringe, you know, type leagues. I mean, I don't think you're going to see a Sun Belt team or whatever, you know, rise up and be a giant killer. But I do think, you know, some teams in the Mountain West, some of these leagues that are, you know, kind of borderline, you know, maybe even the American Athletic Conference, you know, some teams there that are going to rise up and be dominant like Boise State has been. I think, you know, based on our resume alone, we might, you know, start to, you know, knock on that door a little bit. And I mean, but if you look back and say, well, geez, it's taken Boise State 15 years of doing what they've been doing pretty much, you know, to get to the point they're at now. And, you know, all these 10-plus win seasons and undefeated seasons and, you know, stuff like that. So Boise State kind of defied the odds to get where they're at. And, you know, hopefully that'll pay dividends down the road. I mean, I think we're seeing it in recruiting. We're seeing it in stadium expansion and the fact that we are mentioned when it comes to, you know, conference expansions like the Big 12 and, you know, even the Big East before that thing kind of imploded. So I think Boise State, if they just keep on winning and keep doing what they're doing, they're going to, you know, start to kind of stick their foot in a couple of doors. And, you know, hopefully in a couple of years, you know, there's going to be enough outcry and they'll maybe get this thing to 16 and do something that mimics the FCS model a little bit better. And you know, when that day comes, I think Boise State absolutely is going to have a chance at the title. And I think in my lifetime is going to win one.
Nice.
All right, very last question before we wrap this all up. Would you ever want Idaho back as a yearly rivalry game?
No. I know a lot of people say yes just because of the tradition and stuff like that. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, if you look at the history between the schools, there's no camaraderie there. You know, never have we really, like, had this, you know, let's reach out and help the other guy up. Or, you know, it seems like from the get-go, Idaho was always trying to push BSU down, and BSU pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and got where they wanted to go. And even after Boise State did that, there just seems an unwillingness on Idaho's part to, you know, make any concessions that Boise State has kind of passed them by, you know. And at this point, I mean, the games are just kind of, they're not close. The fact that Boise State, you know, on a yearly rivalry would probably be forced to go to the Kibbe Dome, which offers us nothing in return. I mean, at this point, I think we've outgrown the rivalry, to be quite honest. I know Idaho fans, the realist would probably say the same thing. Now, the other guys that lived through their own streak and stuff like that, which was, you know, that was a long time ago. That's when both teams were in the Big Sky and things like that. And, you know, all that parity existed. But, I mean, once you're up with the big boys in Division I, I mean, you've got your haves and have-nots. And Boise State's a have right now, and Idaho's a have-not. And I just don't see there being much to offer there for Idaho or Boise State, honestly. I mean, what does Idaho want to get smoked every year, you know? I mean, what, do they want us to run our streak to 25? I mean, is that really something they're desirous of? I mean, they can look back and say, hey, we beat Boise State 12 straight, they beat us 12 straight, and now we're done. You know, I mean, to me, that's coming out smelling like a rose. You know, you're even Steven, right? You know, instead of letting us make it real embarrassing. So yeah, I mean, I'm personally one of those that, you know, I can look back fondly at the rivalry and say, you know, those were kind of fun games to watch when it was competitive, but they're really not anymore. And to me, it's just another thing. I don't look at Idaho as anything more than a, you know, Utah State or San Jose State, or I guess those are bad examples now that those teams are having a little resurgence, but, you know, maybe a New Mexico or UNLV or, you know, something like that. I don't look at Idaho any differently than that now, other than the fact that we, you know, share borders with them. So
yeah, it makes sense. Also, again, if they can prove to be any better, maybe fit more people in a basketball stadium, because that's what that might make a difference if they can actually show up and do some improvements. But that's it seems pretty ridiculous. You fit 15,000 people in there, and you can only film one way on video, watch on TV, if they're on TV, more likely ESPN3 or something. But yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, it's just to get better, then maybe you might consider playing them. But all right, so I guess that's all we got tonight. We've gone through all the offense, which is great stuff by Drew here, giving us all the information about what should go right. You're brimming with confidence, as you should be with your team that's gone pretty much undefeated the past decade every year. So that's probably the plan there. I'm assuming title game Denver, Fresno State, and who knows from there, depending where it's at. That'll probably decide the winner, in my opinion. But yeah, we got. Thanks for having me on. Everybody, check out obnug.com for awesome Boise State stuff and their roster countdown to know about those guys who may not see playing time this year. So, thanks a lot, Drew, for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, and we thank Drew Roberts here from obnug.com for joining us, as I probably said that three times already. But me and Chris are going to do a quick wrap up. As I kind of already said who I'm leaning toward, at least for a title game, Fresno State versus Boise State. And I'm thinking, even though it's tough to beat the team twice, whoever wins that game is probably in September is probably going to win the title game, in my opinion. This home field's huge, but like Drew said, Fresno's always there, but they've never proved it except for one time, I believe.
Yeah. I don't know. So I totally agree with you, Boise State, Fresno State title game. But I also agree with the 13-0 Fiesta Bowl, or maybe not even Fiesta Bowl, but definitely BCS Bowl. And honestly, okay, forget Texas. You know who I really, really, really want to see for all intensive, crazy purposes?
Boomer Sooner.
No, I do not want to see another Oklahoma rematch. No, I would love to see Boise State in the Sugar Bowl taking on LSU. Because I figured that would possibly be one of the crazier matchups of the whole year.
That could be interesting. I should remember. Well, but remember, they'll all say that LSU didn't want to be there, even if you whoop them up by 3 touchdowns. So be prepared for that.
Of course.
As for Utah, I remember that. And the best thing about that, to go off topic, but I will for real quick. But I remember Andy, everybody's non-favorite offensive coordinator, Andy Ludwig, who is, I think, in Wisconsin now, it's Gary Anderson. He was at some camp where Nick Saban was speaking, and he's like, oh, we do this, and going toward the Utah spread offense. Oh, we now stop all this. And I think he even wrote about it. Ludwig's thinking to himself, what are you talking about? We beat the crap out of you doing the exact same thing, and you're saying your team can stop it at will, like their spread attack that Utah kind of used to do and kind of just bring it back now. So that was kind of a fun thing. But that, if they could go to Sugar Bowl, the hard thing about that is going to be, it's all about crappy tickets. But then Virginia Tech didn't prove it. I think it was last year when they got picked, or 2 years ago, where they didn't really show up to the Sugar Bowl. But Sugar Bowl would be key, but probably because Fiesta Bowl gets the third pick, I think, this year. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or the,
and not only that, the Fiesta Bowl, if you have the Fiesta Bowl, they know that Boise State fans will come.
Yeah, they'll travel. It's, yeah, they'll go there. I if who would I like them to play? If we go by the predictions that's come on here now, they're saying, at least Jason Kirk, who we talked about before, he's picking Texas to win the Big 12. I'm like, come on. I know you're smarter than that, dude. How can you pick Texas? I'm not saying they can't do it. And the Big 12 is way up in the air with Texas, Oklahoma State, TCU.
Baylor!
You never know, Baylor. But I just think if they play a Big 12 team, they'll win because the Big 12 is so concentrated. I could see TCU. Would you be upset if it's a TCU Boise State Fiesta Bowl?
Another time? You know what? I like the rivalry.
Yeah, I like
the head-to-headness because you know why? They're good-natured about it. That rivalry, for all intents and purposes, has never really gotten dirty.
Very little. I remember we had a little bit here and there on the side when they were together, or before and into it, but nothing too big. Yeah, they played so many times in the Fort Worth Bowl, Poinsettia Bowl, Fiesta Bowl. But I think they're going to go to the BCS Bowl game. But as for really cool, I want to go through the schedule one more time. I kind of touched on who I think they might lose to. Who would you think would be? I'll ask you first, and I'll respond to mine. Who would you think would be a home loss where Boise could fall to?
Ooh, a home loss?
I have one, maybe two in mind. Probably one in mind that's the biggest that shoots out at me big time.
Boise State losing at home. This year?
Of course, we're talking about this year.
Honestly, the only people I can really think is Air Force. That's the only team I can picture Boise State losing to at home.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be Nevada. Because despite all the close calls and everything like that, Nevada is I'm still not completely sold. But Air Force has that triple option that really throws Boise State for a loop, and I think that could trip them up enough. That's the only people I think.
Okay, I saw Air Force. I was kind of thinking of that because they play Fresno the following week on the road. However, I am going to go with Nevada mainly because a couple reasons. At this point in the season, we know who Nevada is going to be, and I'm assuming they're with Cody Fajardo. They're going to be a fine running team, passing team with Don Jackson back there, Brendan Wembley throwing the ball to him. I think they'll figure out their offense if they need to be figuring out because they're the same offensive coordinator from last year. The reason it's a big deal, they play Utah State on the road, come back to Nevada, then they go back on the road to BYU. Those are two most. I'm assuming if we're under assumption Utah State's at least an 8 or 9 win team, that's where I think Nevada could be the kind of a trap, a stupid name, but the trap game. We got a tough game last week. We're maybe beat up a little bit. Then we go on the road. We're playing a good BYU team next week, who's kind of a rival because they have that 20 or whatever 15 year schedule. And then Nevada's not a bad team. That's the one game I think I could see because they're sandwiched between two tough games and on the road.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. I get your point with Air Force, but they play UT Martin before. They'll rest everybody. They'll be prepared. I'm not saying they'll prepare for Air Force before Martin. UT Martin's just a dumb coaching move. And then they have one last day to prepare for Air Force. That's also in your favor, too, because they go Saturday to Friday.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out.
We will find out. The only other game, what about your friendly neighbors in the Southwest of New Mexico at home? Because last year it came down to the wire, apparently, almost.
I'm not sure. I'm telling you. Football Bob! Football Bob with bowl game this year. I believe in the Lobos, which is possibly my biggest mistake since I believed in, other things like BYU actually being good last year.
That was their coach's fault, who's in love with their quarterback and didn't realize what he had in the backup.
Just like I mistakenly thought that, San Diego State would, be hammered at Boise State at home. There are certain things that, I make mistakes on, but I don't know. I'm fairly sold on New Mexico making the bowl game.
Would you, five, really quick, we'll wrap this up. Five dimes put odds on who's going to win the conference. They got Boise State at a ridiculous plus 110. Would you feel comfortable at least putting a couple bucks on New Mexico at plus 9,000? That's 11. That's somehow behind UNLV and Colorado State.
No more than $2.
Okay.
Because
you're probably going to head to Las Vegas apparently to maybe visit the family once before the season begins, perhaps? Maybe? I'm just saying you're also a two-hour drive from the border, and I can also proxy bet 90 minutes to Wendover from where I'm at if you'd like me to PayPal me $10 for New Mexico plus 9,000.
Are we making parlay bets already?
No, I'm just saying they got the odds out for the conference title.
I would put no more than $2 on it.
Okay.
Because if that happened, I would be, what, $18,000 richer?
I'm not too familiar with the plus-minus how it works. I think you would get, because at plus 110, I don't, this is probably boring to talk about. I don't know. I know the plus-minus is a little bit different, but if it's like plus 100, I think if you bet $1, you get $1.10 back. So it's like 10% return. So this is 90-1, I believe, somewhere around that. It's not 900-1, but... I don't know. It's a good amount of money. That's all I could say. If you put $10, you'll be sitting pretty. Okay. And it happens. I don't do.
Anyway, this is boring conversation. Anyway.
Yeah. So check out the odds. Are pretty. Just okay. Really, Hawaii 12,500. Anybody?
No.
I'm just saying. Yeah. That's so enough. That's enough. I forgot you. Are you assuming I didn't ask you this pertinent question? Boise State going to win the conference?
Of course.
Okay. Just making sure from the we assume Boise State alum. We haven't seen your Duke. I put mine on Twitter. No, yeah, I didn't see you follow up when I put my University of Utah one on there.
I didn't see that.
Oh,
no.
I deleted it because I want people, a lot of people to read that stuff, but I thought you saw it. Not a big deal. So thanks for listening, everybody. We promise this is not that long of a show, 40 minutes or so. I lost the bet of being less than 45 from what I said earlier, but check out MWCConnection.com. And we want to thank, of course, Drew Roberts for hanging out with us from obnug.com to discuss Boise State. And next show will be all about Colorado State.